On the Radar, an Eagle News program that takes you beyond the streets and brings you closer to national and international breaking news as it unfolds. Tune in every Monday to Friday from 1 to 2:30.
Good afternoon, Namibia. You are tuned into On the Radar News Bulletin. This is Monday, the 26th of May, 2025. And yes, it's a public holiday as the nation continues to mark Africa Day. And as always, we are coming to you live from the studios of Eagle FM. I am your host, Ndafa Happy Juju, and it's a pleasure to guide you through the stories shaping our world, from national headlines and policy shifts to the issues that hit closer to home, impacting our communities, classrooms, clinics, and the environment. Well, Namibia joins the rest of the continent in commemorating Africa Day on Sunday, the 25th of May, 2025. This year's theme, Justice for Africans and the People of African Descent Through Repatriations, calls on the global community to confront the enduring legacy of colonialism, slavery, and systemic injustice. It's a powerful reminder that the liberation goes beyond political independence and must include economic readiness, cultural recognition, and global accountability for past wrongs. We've also reached out to entrepreneurs in light of Africa Day, asking what it will take to propel the continent forward through business and innovation. So stay tuned for a power-packed news bulletin filled with insights, inspiration, and forward-thinking solutions. And remember, you can also stay connected with Eagle FM anytime, anyway, via our mobile app, our official website, or by tuning in to the nearest Eagle FM frequency. Now for real-time headlines and news alerts, don't forget to subscribe to the Villager WhatsApp channel. So stay locked in with On the Radar, and the conversation starts now. Namibia joined the rest of the continent to commemorate and celebrate Africa Day on Sunday, the 25th of May, 2025. The day originates from the formation of the Organization of African Unity, now known as African Union, on the 25th of May, 1963, with the aim to unite the continent under a common vision. Now, ever since, the day has been celebrated across Africa as a reflection and a call for the continent's identity, solidarity, and unity. The commemoration was held at Parliament Garden in Windhoek, and speaking at the event, the keynote speaker was the Vice President of Namibia, Lucia Witbooi, who pointed that the African Union has actively supported initiatives aimed at advancing justice and facilitating the payment of repatriation. Let's take a listen to what the Vice President of Namibia had to say.
May 25 embodies the spirit of resilience, solidarity, and unity amongst Africans in their historic resolve to realize their natural right to self-determination and free themselves from the yoke of colonialism with the establishment of the Organization of African Unity in 1963. It is therefore with deep honor and immense joy that I join you today, as well as the people of Africa, to commemorate and celebrate the 22nd anniversary of the African Union, also known as Africa Day. Indeed, Africans across the continent and around the world, with the exception of our brothers and sisters in Western Sahara, are celebrating the liberation of our respective countries on the continent today. Our solidarity and unwavering support are with the people of Western Sahara in their ongoing struggle for freedom and independence. Today's event is co-organized by the
by the Namibian government through the Ministry of International Relations and Trade and the African missions present in Namibia. This collaboration is a testament to the enduring spirit of brotherhood that has developed over the years and must continue as it embodies African unity, the essence of Pan-Africanism, and the philosophy of Ubuntu. I'm also pleased to welcome our distinguished guest, the young people of the World Federation of Democratic Youth, who have come to celebrate this memorable event with us. Your presence is a testament to Africa's inclusive hospitality and solidarity that is deeply rooted in our ancestral heritage. The AU has actively supported initiatives aimed at advancing justice and facilitating the payment of reparations, as well as the restitution of cultural artifacts and heritage that were taken by force during colonialization and enslavement. It is important to note that in 2001, the African Union participated in the United Nations World Conference Against Racism, Racial Discrimination, and Related Intolerance, where the Durban Declaration and Program of Action were adopted. The declaration acknowledged the horrific strategies of racism, racial discrimination, and related intolerance, including slavery and the transatlantic slave trade. It emphasized the necessity for victims of these human rights violations to have access to justice, legal assistance, and effective protection and remedies. In Namibia, we continue our discussions and negotiations with Germany in the pursuit of reparations and reparatory justice for the genocide committed in Namibia from 1904 to 1908. These negotiations are ongoing to aim to achieve a comprehensive resolution that adequately addresses Namibia's rightful claim for reparations and meets the needs of the affected communities. By adopting this year's theme, we, as Africans, acknowledge the significance of inclusive dialogue and cooperation in advancing restorative justice. Furthermore, we emphasize the necessity for the enduring contributions and experiences of Africans and people of African descent to be recognized, respected, and meaningfully integrated into global development frameworks. Your Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, today is not only about justice for Africans and reparations. May 25 also serves as a day for us as Africans to reflect on our priorities and, most importantly, to rededicate our efforts towards achieving Africa's ambitions for socio-economic empowerment. This empowerment must be driven by our own initiatives to ensure prosperity and sustainable development. We have indeed made significant progress in this regard through the adoption of Africa's Development Blueprint Agenda 2063. The Africa we want. Agenda 2063 serves as a framework aimed at transforming Africa into a global powerhouse through inclusive and sustainable development over a 50-year period from 2013 to 2063. This framework has received wholehearted endorsement from AU member states and has been integrated into our national visions and plans, including those of Namibia. Member states are on course with the implementation of Agenda 63, having completed the first 10-year implementation plan of Agenda 2063, in which we achieve a lot through the establishment of African Union support structures to enhance economic growth and trade and to address the political and security challenges on the continent. We are now in the second 10-year implementation plan of Agenda 2063, which is a manifestation of the collective will and determination of the African people to shape their destiny and reaffirm the African dream of unity, dignity, and prosperity for all. This is in line with the objectives of the AU theme of this year. In the same vein, and of course, to achieving our set goals, we have established the African Continental Free Trade Area with the aim of creating a single market for the African continent. The African Continental Free Trade Area also aims to enable the free flow of goods and services across Africa, boosting intra-Africa trade and strengthening Africa's position in the global market. Thus, opportunities have been presented by Africa's integrated market, which member states should now explore and utilize fully. Your Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, in our pursuit for a free market ecosystem in Africa, we take cognizance of the interconnectedness of the world manifested through global trade, information sharing, and the movement of people, commerce, and ideas. Of course, we are aware of the external hurdles to continental integration, such as protectionism and the application of tariffs on African countries, which may hamper the smooth and seamless flow of goods and services within the continent and reduce trade with other countries globally. However, Africa is now more determined than ever, and Africa is ambitious. Therefore, we shall endeavor to continue promoting our own ways of getting things done and achieve our objectives, among others, the promotion of unity and solidarity amongst nations, promotion of peace and security, defense of our sovereignty, and the acceleration of the continent's political and socio-economic integration. I should, however, emphasize that Africa is ready to partner and engage with nations and non-state actors who share Africa's development plans and aspirations to foster cooperation in various areas for mutual benefits.
And now we pause here and take a trip to the marketplace, and we'll be back shortly after the commercial break. Now we want to know, what are you busy up to as you are celebrating, continuing to celebrate Africa Day? Because at the end of the day, today is a public holiday because of yesterday, as Namibia joins the world or the continent to celebrate Africa Day. And what is it that this Africa Day means to you? So with that being said, our studio line is open, 083-288-401. One is the number in studio.
Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards, and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
Welcome back. As we celebrate Africa Day, it's important to reflect on the critical role entrepreneurs play in shaping the continent's economic future. Entrepreneurs are not just business owners. They are catalysts for innovation, job creation, and sustainable development. Now, with that in mind, we turn to entrepreneur Mario Upite for insight on the types of businesses and strategies that can drive Africa forward.
Yes, Dr. Mario, how are you?
I'm very well, and how are you?
No, we are very good. Thank you so much for making time to talk to Eagle FM today.
Yes.
Yeah, what we are looking at is that yesterday was the 25th, and it's a day which get to be celebrated as an African day. And looking at where Africa is, looking at where Namibia is, and looking at where we want to be as a continent, that task is on the hands of entrepreneurs. And you are an entrepreneur, and you have been an entrepreneur for a period of time. You are also in a leadership of entrepreneurs there in the north, you know, on Ndangwa branch for NCCI. So what we wanted to hear from you is that going forward, as an entrepreneur and as a leader of entrepreneurs out there, what must the entrepreneurs do to take Africa where it should be? And what do they need, perhaps, from their leadership to make Africa the best continent as it's supposed to be?
In my point of view, I see that for us as entrepreneurs in Africa, first of all, we have to be united.
Yeah.
And work together. That's the way forward. And I'm sure that some of us, we are more concentrated on our businesses locally. And some business people, they have fear of expanding their business beyond because of some previous business that they had some joint ventures with other African countries, and they failed due to going to the wrong route that contribute to their failure.
Yeah,
because most of us, we don't follow And let me say, we have a Chamber of Commerce that can facilitate every business, especially in our country.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that all the countries, they also have their Chamber of Commerce where if you intend to expand the business beyond, you can always contact the chamber instead of going through without consultation.
Yeah.
And you end up with the wrong partner.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, looking at the leadership, you as an entrepreneur, what do you colleagues need to take Africa to the level where it's supposed to be? What do you demand or what do you seek from our political leadership, whether it's at the national level, at the local level where you operate? What do you need from them for you to grow your enterprise, to create employment, to create wealth for Africa? What do you need from the political leadership?
From the political leadership, we also need politicians to be united.
Yeah.
Because, as I said earlier, some of us, we are scared to go to other countries because of safety. Some countries are not safe for us to go in and do business with them.
Yeah.
Because the leaders themselves, some countries, you know that the corruption in Africa is very high, and that this is started from the politicians and also continuing to the business community. Because you find some of them that are really very corrupt and they don't help us. They don't give us that motivation to trade with them. And all what we want is business community. We want the government to work with us. And government, they must also listen to business people.
Yeah.
Because some government officials don't have even a little time to listen to business people. And they don't take our advice serious.
Yeah.
So if we all work together
with
a politician and business community,
we
can take Africa further.
Yeah.
Because the economy of each country is being driven by business community.
Yeah. Now, maybe just lastly here, what message do you have for upcoming entrepreneurs and also the existing entrepreneurs going forward as Africa now look to them to create wealth and to add value? What message do you have for your fellow entrepreneurs and especially also those ones that are upcoming?
The message that I have for African entrepreneurs is just for us to, be united and trade between Africans, because we have more. We understand that if we do business between Africans, we'll never succeed. We only have to do business with European countries, have to do with so on. But for us now to take Africa forward, we have to be united and trade between Africa.
Yeah.
That's the only way
we
can take our economy further.
Thank you so much, Tate Mario. And we also wish you all the best in your entrepreneurial journey. Thank you for talking to Eagle FM.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Have a good day.
Our in-house economist, Nginomeravadi Erastus, also caught up with Paratus Nepolo, who is also an entrepreneur, further on what African entrepreneurs need to do to take Africa forward, where he emphasized on private sector and public sectors to work together in order for entrepreneurship to move forward. Let's take a listen.
Yes, a very good afternoon to you, Mr. Nepolo. Thank you so much for making time to talk to Eagle FM today.
Good afternoon, Eagle FM, and good morning to the whole entire Namibia.
Yes. Yeah, Dr. Nepolo, yesterday we celebrated the African Day. I think this is the 62 years now celebrating this day. But we all know that the African continent is not where we want it to be or we aspire it to be. And that main task, I think, of taking the African continent somewhere is on the hands or the shoulders of entrepreneurs. And we just have this question for you. As an entrepreneur now in the African continent and having the task of taking Africa somewhere, what does Africa need to do, or what does African entrepreneurs need to do to take the continent forward, from your view?
Yeah, thank you, Gabriel, for that relevant question. You know, you mentioned that it's more than six decades that we are celebrating African Day. One, we need to identify ourselves. We need to know ourselves by now, that who are we? What do we have to offer to the world? And if we don't do that, because that's a basic thing that one can do. You will need to know the continent, the value of the continent, the value of the African people. If we understand that, we're then going to know where we should take our continent as entrepreneurs. You know, days are gone that, you know, the economies, of the continent was political driven. Now, really, all the politicians are also talking about We need politics and private sector to work together. Because without the private sector, without entrepreneurship in the continent will not going to be able to innovate. The continent will not going to be able to industrialize. Because the continent will only going to be industrialized through private sector, through entrepreneurship. So, and it's where we really have to put emphasis and money. Our policymakers and also our politicians, they must understand that the sector to put more money is entrepreneurship, which is currently not happening, especially if I can recall very well, across Africa, post-COVID, there was not really much support after COVID-19. There was not much financial support and emotional support towards entrepreneurship. And there is only, it's already where we are going wrong. Because the companies that are surviving now, those that made it post-COVID, were not supposed to be, over-regulated, for example. We are still continue after COVID-19. We are still, punishing entrepreneurs or private sector to pay tax the way they used to pay tax. And sometimes even the tax payment has been investigated, or it's been, you know, the system before COVID 10 years back, you're going to see that business people are now paying those bills, and those bills are not accurate because it was old systems, and now they are also guessing to think maybe entrepreneurs owe the revenue this much. There's no accuracy, and really this frustrates, and it does not really assist the continent to go forward. We need to learn really how to understand, and we need to learn not only to theoretically make statements that the entrepreneurs are engine of the economy. Entrepreneurs are, you know, we need to practice that, and we need to put money where our mouth is.
And perhaps just again now, maybe just again to elaborate on that. Now, to take the African continent forward, I also want to ask you this, to say, what do you need from the political leadership in the continent, at the national level, at the local level, at the regional level? What do you need the political leadership to do to boost entrepreneurship? What is specific that going forward, as we keep celebrating this day, what does the political leadership need to do?
The political leadership, one, they need to investigate those that are competing with entrepreneurs. Because there are policymakers and politicians that are also business people, which we call in a simple term corruption. You know, we need to fight it from there. Because if you want to be a minister, or if you want to be an executive director, be that one. You know, now you are a policymaker and you are also competing in with the private sector. So that is one. You know, we need to put more money in vocational education. Because it's only through vocational education where the innovation and entrepreneurs can be boosted. And it can really make Africa to be a better place. Of course, Namibia, we are way forward, comparing to our peers. So definitely, in terms of vocational, we have done very well, even though there are still enough room to improve. So Africa needs to put more investment into vocational and also support the incubation after the graduation, the graduates leave vocational education, or give also support in enough money on apprenticeship program. You know, the apprenticeship program can really resolve the issue of unemployment through youth as well. And as well, through vocational, they must also cater for the youth that are not even qualified to go to the formal vocational education, but they are capable. They can do work with their hands. They are talented, naturally talented. We need to support the bridging course to technical vocational education, so that even a grade 7 that is talented, that is in the street, can now go into a vocational team to either be prepared for the industry or to be prepared to join a formal vocational education. So that if Africa can just do that, because days are gone that we talk too much about university academic. Of course, we need to put more money, but we have a lot of academicians now that qualify. They have a lot of degrees, but they cannot even employ themselves. Because the skills they have were not trained to be self-employed, but rather they were trained to support the business of the former colony. Or former colonizer. The system was clear that when you graduate from the university or varsity, you need just to go and work for a big corporate company or a government. You were not trained to really be an entrepreneur, and that's a problem we have. But since independence on our days, we have really motivated many youth that are graduating from TVET to become entrepreneurs, and we have plenty of them, and they have employed a lot of people. So our government in Africa, they must put money into vocational education.
Now maybe just lastly, as I saw a business leader in the structure of NCCI, maybe what message now do you have for entrepreneurs, especially the upcoming one? What message do you have going forward that Africa needs you, or this is what needs to be done for us to take Africa somewhere? What message do you have as we celebrate this day?
Definitely, always, we must not think of what Africa can do for us. As entrepreneur, we must also think what I, an entrepreneur, can do for my continent. That's very important. I mean, we need to do sacrificing. Our forefathers, the Semanuyoma, the Mugambe, the Kaunda, you know, they sacrificed for their useful life to bring political independence. But what are we doing in this space? Because now we are talking about economical emancipation, economical independence. So we must sacrifice. To do really more, like, let me say, for example, myself, I don't want to maybe boot or whatever, but you know, I have established businesses that are supporting the industry. I invested in manufacturing, but you know, little support from my government. I invest in vocational training center that is accredited by NQA. I also participated. I also offer within my group of companies. I also offer apprenticeship program with some of the youth have already graduated or have already completed last year, and I have 7 of them that have to complete this year. But Namibia is very small. The policymakers and our politician brothers and sisters, when they meet you, they say, Nepolo, you are trying. But what are you doing, really, to make sure that you take ownership of this, previous disadvantaged organization that needs to be grown? I mean, some of us, we just established them really to support the ecosystem of the growth of the economy.
Yeah.
But it's not necessary that our businesses, but they are suffering.
Yeah.
They are just putting us to the banks, to the loans, which loans the money in Namibia, in Africa, money is very expensive.
Yeah.
Now, after COVID, if you are telling people only to go to get loans, you are actually busy burying them again. Because loans, when they get loans and they are fighting to recover from COVID-19, from that epidemic that nobody even knew that we would speak now. We thought it's the end of the world. But by the grace, we few of us that survived, really, we need to support one another. And we must not really push business people to go to the bank too much.
Yeah.
As government, as our politician, we must also make a deliberation or political decision to say this 2 billion is just going to our entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
And also, like myself, we lost money with SME Bank. Nobody's speaking about it. You know, that money could also help the circulation. I mean, myself, I have close to $500,000.
Yeah.
But now I was forced to go and get money from commercial bank because my money is crossed in with SME Bank. But our policymakers, nobody's saying anything about the money of entrepreneurs, small business and medium that are crossed in with SME Bank. It's those basics that we could assist entrepreneurship to thrive in Africa. I know that issue is Namibia, but those issues are cross-cutting. I travel Africa. I trade in Kigali, Rwanda for a year, and I moved my business to Tanzania. You know, the issue that I'm talking about, they're actually cross-cutting. I mean, the African space, but we need, Africa need each other. Let me say, like Rwanda, they have system, digital system that are in place, but they don't have vocational or artisans. We could have, political bilateral agreement where Rwanda, for example, get our artisans to go and assist them, and they assist us with system, digital system or integrated system that are working for them. So this bilateral agreement, if we want Africa to go forward, those are agreements that our policymakers and our politicians have to engage one another so that they create a very conducive environment, the entrepreneurship and the business people to thrive.
Thank you so much, Dr. Nepolo. Thank you for your time, and we wish you all the best in your entrepreneurial journey.
Thank you very much, Mr. Gapi. And once more again, Eagle FM is a radio that really gives relevant information. Those that really want to advertise and those that want to support, please support this radio. Thank you very much, and a happy belated African Day.
All right, sir.
Thank you.
Real journalism, real impact, from hard-hitting investigations to grassroots voices. The Villager brings you the stories that others miss. Now, for fearless reporting, make sure that you visit thevillager.com.na where news meets accountability. For now, I'll see you after the commercial break.
Listen to Eagle FM in Lodritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.0.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device,
You can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Vilvitje University September intake for 2025. All programs are fully accredited by the NQA. Certificate in Health Sciences Foundation, Level 4. A one-year full-time all campuses. Certificate for Enrolled Nurse Midwife or Akricha, Level 6. 2 years full-time in Windhoek Koronkoro, Combat, Walvis Bay, Katima Murillo, and Otapi. Diploma in Environmental Health Sciences, Level 6. 2 years full-time in Windhoek. Bachelor of Nursing, a midwifery service honors, 4 years, four years, full-time in Windhoek, Koronkoro, Combat, Walvis Bay, and Katima Mulilo. Postgraduate Diploma in Mental Health and Nursing, Level 8, 1 year full-time in Windhoek. Postgraduate Diploma in Community Health Nursing, Level 8, 1 year full-time, Windhoek. The application period is from the 1st of May to the 30th of May. To the 30th of June 2025. For more information, call 061-225-463 or 061-225-462. Vilvitje University, where everyone is an achiever.
Listen to Eagle FM in Lodritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.0.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144.
Onkundana ombwanawa kani hauto. Owa pumbwa oshimaliwa meendelelo. Ndele ouna osheenditho. Ouna aniilonga ya pumbwa okufutwa. Ashike mboka ina oondjodhoye otaende kashona. Ngele onkalamwenyo otayi nyengana, otokesh otayi ningi ompu. Tu etela ohauto yoye eto pewa epresenda ya 45 dongushu yosheenditho shoye. Muule ashike womintetiro 45. Ino pumbwa oka payslip nenge o statement ayombanga. Ohauto yoye ashike. Mona omula oshimaliwa ethimbo weshi pumbwa.
Easy money.
Tu dengera nena ko nora hamano yimwe ne nora nora hamano heari hamano. Ano ko nora hamano yimwe ne nora nora hamano heari hamano. Oshipulera ko otokesh.
Monday's The Villager e-paper is out and covering the following headlines. City cracks down on CBD street vendors amid complaints. Namibia ranks 96th in the Global Frontier Technologies Readiness Index. A force to be reckoned with, an institution dedicated to the future of its people, IUM. Standing Committee rules a basic income grant as success in Namibia. Football and rugby champions one step closer to being crowned. Grab your copy of today's e-paper and read up on the following headlines, on those headlines and much more. In other news, a careful observation shows that since the inauguration of Namibia's fifth president, that is Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah, reveals that she has traveled to 6 African countries since taking office and has not traveled to Europe or America. Now, our in-house economist Erastus Nginominovari caught up with the executive director of the Ministry of International Relations and Trade, that is Penda Nanda, on what this visit could potentially mean in terms of economic diplomacy. Let's take a listen.
Yes, a very good afternoon to you, Mr. Penda.
Good afternoon.
Yes, welcome to Eagle FM.
Thank you.
Yes, one of the most interesting things that we have picked up so far is that since the inauguration of our president, she has only traveled to SADC countries, meeting her counterpart in Angola, Zimbabwe, Botswana, and Tanzania, and Mozambique. And looking now at economic diplomacy, how significant is this travel or this visit, especially comparing to the past when we see most of African countries, whenever they start, they always go to Europe or to America, things like that. But I was decided that her first step or her first external visit are within Africa and also SADC. How significant is this when it comes to economic diplomacy?
Once you take into consideration that your neighbors are always your strategy partner,
mm-hmm.
When you have such journey,
mm-hmm.
your neighbor is the one to first come to your rescue.
Yeah.
If you look at how these visits were introduced,
mm-hmm.
these were introductory visits to our neighbors.
Yeah.
And now when it comes to economic diplomacy,
mm-hmm.
The most major trading partners,
mm-hmm.
our neighbors.
Yeah.
And if we want to talk about increasing our market,
mm-hmm.
we first have to look at our neighbors.
Yeah.
Particularly within the context of the Africa Continental Free Trade Area.
Yeah.
Of which we are part of,
mm-hmm.
of which we are also propagating.
Yeah.
And so our neighbors are very, very important when it comes to that. And of course, you know that, Namibia is one of the countries that has given dry ports.
Yeah.
To neighboring countries.
Mm-hmm.
You have Zambia, Zimbabwe, Botswana, and if you have accompanied the international fora,
mm.
they no longer regard themselves as landlocked countries.
Yeah.
Because they have access to the dry ports where they are being imported and exported.
Mm-hmm.
And so through that, we have created what we call corridors.
Yeah.
Of course, you know the Trans-Gali corridor.
Mm-hmm.
We have the Trans-Zambezi corridor.
Yeah.
We have the corridor going to towards Angola.
Yeah.
Those are facilitating trade with our neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. And just maybe also to add to extra question there, I know now your ministry has also merged with the trade, meaning that now when it comes also to trade negotiation and other negotiations, I think it has been a good move in terms of not running around them being in the same building. How important is having trade together with the diplomatic component? How easy it is now when it comes to negotiating either bilateral or any type of negotiation? How important is the merging now of that?
You know, diplomacy has evolved.
Mm-hmm.
Diplomacy is no longer the two polars, west and east.
Yeah.
Diplomacy has evolved into bread and butter issues.
Yeah.
So what we want to put on the table is what people can eat, tangible, something tangible that people can touch, that this, I'm having bread, I'm eating.
Yeah.
And so what the importance thereof then is that,
mm-hmm.
With the merger of these two ministries,
mm-hmm.
you now concentrate on one thing.
Yeah.
Because the previous Ministry of International Relations and Cooperation had a component of trade facilitation,
mm-hmm.
and trade promotion.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what the Ministry of Industrialization and Trade was also doing.
Yeah.
And now,
mm-hmm.
when you put this together,
mm-hmm.
it's a trend. It's not only Namibia doing that. It's a trend that is across the world now, where all these countries are realizing that, I think we were in the wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say, the ministry that is tasked with the international affairs of the country be the one,
mm-hmm.
negotiating with the international community,
mm-hmm.
on aspects related to trade, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And so when it comes to trade,
mm-hmm.
and investment,
mm-hmm.
those are now issues that are going to be dealt with by the Ministry of international relations and trade.
Yeah. And perhaps now, lastly, we, as the president visit all these other countries, we know that there is a potential in terms of trade, but most of this negotiation has been going slow. If you look at the corridor, which is also going to DRC, the Lubumbashi and others, maybe are we foreseeing that most of this negotiation now will perhaps be expedited to unlock the potential which exists now within Southern Africa, and also for this country that have been given dry port, also for them to start utilizing them more, because we have seen that countries like Zimbabwe and also others, and also Botswana and others, have not really maximized their utilization of the dry port. With this visit of the president, are we foreseeing that maybe there will be a faster movement in terms of negotiation and so on, utilization of some of these treaties that exist?
Negotiations are complex.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot conduct a negotiation within 1 year.
Yeah.
So if you look at SACU, the oldest customs union in the world, we are still negotiating among ourselves on how we should do things within ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
How we should do things with others who are not with us.
Mm-hmm.
And so these are things that will continue.
Mm-hmm.
The World Trade Organization is still negotiating on issues,
mm-hmm.
particularly when it comes to what we call the origin of a material that has to be traded or that has to be manufactured or so on.
Mm.
And so we have to expect that these things will continue for a while.
Mm.
And now, when it comes to us within SADC, know that many countries in SADC are not part of SADC.
Mm.
We also need to see how we can bring them on board in order to negotiate to trade with those of us in SADC.
Yeah.
And now, with Botswana, we have this Kalahari highway that is through Botswana to cover South Africa and Mozambique.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, partly also the public.
Mm-hmm.
You need to know that we also need a railway line.
Yeah.
And so feasibility studies would have to be done, and there are things that need to be done to be conducted, including the finances. Where do we get the finances, the funding for this?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we are rated as a middle income country.
Yeah.
And it's very difficult for us to get concessional loans.
Mm.
And so we are regarded as a rich country.
Mm.
Ever you come to people who are supposed to give you funding, they turn their back and say, you guys, you are a rich country, you have all these minerals and all these type of things, without realizing that this rating is based on the Gini coefficient, which is not which is not looking at the reality on the ground.
Yeah, which is not reflective of what is on the ground, yeah.
Exactly.
Mm.
And so these are negotiations that will then take a long time.
Mm.
Before we then come and say, okay, now let's start doing A, B, C, and D.
All right.
So with regard to the usage of the dry port, maybe they are not maximizing the use of their dry port, but they are using the dry port.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at Zambia's copper is going through Namibia.
Yeah.
You just go from Grootfontein to Walvis Bay. You will get tracks of Zambia using copper there. And so that's how they are using the port.
Yeah.
And it's also using the port, importing their goods. And also exporting their goods. They do request for permission to be escorted to embassies are sensitive and so on. So they are using the port. They are acknowledging the fact that they have no access to the sea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much, Tatenanda. And I think we'll keep reaching out to you, because looking at things, I think economic diplomacy and also negotiation are some of the most least reported in our country, even though they are the most important. And I think the private sector, especially business people, they needed to keep being updated on the progress of negotiation, whether it's at the SADC level or SACU level or at the continental level, so that they can actually decide or take advantage of such negotiations.
Yeah, what we actually do, we do engage the private sector through their institutions. The NALOCA, the FNCCI. And so we do engage them to come on board.
Mm-hmm.
we have a FOCAC meeting coming up in June next month.
Okay.
And the manufacturer that is on board, they are also going to participate in the, there's a big export taking place in China, and they are going.
Mm-hmm.
So it will be fruitless for us to go out there and negotiate an agreement and come back and just sit on it.
Definitely.
These agreements are umbrella agreements,
mm-hmm.
which necessitate the private sector then to come in
mm-hmm.
and step in what was agreed
mm-hmm.
upon.
Mm-hmm.
So they can do business with the international world.
Yeah.
If you look at the Africa Continental Free Trade Area,
mm-hmm.
what happened was that for the past 2 years, if you have followed,
mm-hmm.
The ministry then Mirko then
mm-hmm.
facilitated with an individual called Abanga Farmers in Ghana,
mm-hmm.
and he exported our beef from the northern communal areas.
Mm-hmm.
Also exported our beer.
Mm.
And he's focusing on the West African market.
Yeah.
And he's doing very good.
Mm.
So we just need to sensitize our business
mm.
people that are these agreements
mm-hmm.
that they need to step into
mm-hmm.
so they can really maximize the benefits thereof.
All right, sir. Thank you so much for availing your time, Idi.
You're welcome, sir.
Yeah. Can we now do a swamp, sir, even for 2 questions, please?
Welcome back. Now we pause here and take a trip to the marketplace. We'll be back with yet more news, so stay with us.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who you know does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past,
mm.
and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming.
Kids, no running. They grow up so fast.
Come here, guys. Who wants to watch the favorite show on GoTV?
Your family's favorite moments are made better with GoTV's shows. We've got loads of local, international, and kids' channels, and all the football you need from the comfort of your home.
You can also watch your favorite shows wherever you are with GoTV Stream. Stick with GoTV and let's go together. GoTV. Love it.
On Friday, 18 beneficiaries from Tobias Hainyeko constituency got income generating equipment valued at 277,000 Namibian dollars. That is to upgrade their businesses. The equipment, which includes tools, machinery, and various support materials, was handed over by the Commerce Regional Council to support the entrepreneurs and businesses that have been operational struggle to expand their businesses. The Councillor of Moses Harub, Stephanos Ndengu, welcomes the beneficiaries on behalf of the host councillor who is out on official work duties.
Those equipment and material are given to you so that you can improve your business operation and grow. As you are empowered, do the same in the community by empowering others, so that it improves their livelihood by creating the unemployment and the poverty level in our constituency, in the region and in the country at large. In our endeavors, let us strive to be successful so that the sacrifice made by current and late leaders, the founding president, Dr. Semcha Fishun Nyoma, Dr. Hage Geingob, and other heroes and heroines, and other heroes and the heroines of the Republic of Namibia does not go to waste. As business owner, let us be resilient to reach the top, like our first female president, Dr. Netumbo Nandi Ndaitwa. It is my wish that this significant contribution will make a difference in your effort to create competitive SME, which are much needed for the realization of the vision 2020-2030. And I am appeal to you to manage your business properly so that you can continue to make your business successful. Ladies and gentlemen, let us ensure that we support our SME owners. Let us buy our local product and local produced and product, because without our support, their business will not grow. Our office will also monitor their progress and assist them within training and monitoring that thus resources do not go to waste. With these few words, I thank you and may God bless you all. Thank you very much.
One of the beneficiaries, that is Veronica Haiputa, also had something to say, as our journalist Bernadette interviewed her.
Here today we are with Ms. Veronica, who is one of the beneficiaries from this handover that is happening today at Tobias Hainyeko. Ms. Veronica, how do you feel being one of these beneficiaries, and for how long have you been applying in this type of event?
Thank you. I have been struggling to apply for this equipment for almost 10 years. And today my name, last year my name was out. Then I get my equipment today and I'm so happy. I'm very happy.
What equipment are we talking about, Ms. Veronica?
Because I get the generator and the heavy duty, but the machine is not even there, but I got the generator for now.
What business do you do?
I'm doing for sewing. I'm doing sewing or upholstery, sewing upholstery. I'm doing the seat covers, sofas, and everything.
Oh, okay. That's how we are hearing from Ms. Veronica. She does sewing. So today here she got a generator. I believe this is because mostly people decide we do not have electricity. They do not have electricity. That's why now they are being provided with a generator so that they are able to work with their machines. So what is the relevance of this material to your business? How important is it? What contribution does it really bring to your business?
Oh, my business,
like the relevance of this generator that you are getting today. How strong does it lift up your business?
The moment I get the generator, because there at our place there is no electricity. When I get the generator, they are going to help me to do my business well, because when I open the generator, then I can use with the machine even for the whole day. I'm going to do my business very well, because I'm doing those canvas or like school bags and everything.
Do you, have you employed anybody? Do you work with people at your business, or you are still alone?
No, I'm training people. I have one lady, the one on training, and I employ also two guys and one ladies. We are five in our business now, right now. I'm employing three people and one on the training. And me, myself, also, I can sit at the machine and can do myself everything.
As you are hearing from her, she's an employer of three people. What is the long-term goal of your business? How far from today as you get your generator, where do you picture yourself?
When I get the generator today, I'm going to do more business, because the problem we are struggling on is electricity. When I get the generator, my business, we are going to run more. Even I can work during the night and until late because I'm having a generator now. The business is going to do well now.
And now we step away for a commercial break. When we do return, we'll be bringing you what's making headlines in regards to economic indicators.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have the capacity to build? Why should you do that? Any other person does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Welcome back, and now for some economic indicators. On agricultural commodity today, the top commodity loser is orange juice at -5.55%, cocoa at -4.52%, and oats at -1.25%. Gains are led by canola at 0.64%. On metal commodities, the top commodity loser for today is iron ore at -1.53% and steel rebar at -1.01%, lithium carbonate at -0.87%, and gold at -0.58%. Energy commodities are having natural gas EU Dutch leading by 1.60%, blend crude oil at 0.47%, and crude oil WTI at 0.46%. The biggest losers are natural gas at -0.63%. The JSE index rose around about 0.5% to around 93,900 on Monday. That is South Africa's stock exchange records, continuing its upward momentum at record levels for a second consecutive day. Chemicals are at +4.7%, industrial materials at +2.7% were among the leading sectors driving the rally. The market's positive trajectory reflected heightened investor confidence following President Cyril Ramaphosa's meeting with U.S. President Donald Trump, now during which an agreement was reached to commence negotiations on critical minerals, a key sector to South Africa's growth strategy. Additionally, the parliamentary approval of Finance and Minister Enoch Godongwana's budget alleviated political risks and reinforced market confidence in the fiscal outlook. Meanwhile, Poland's unemployment rate edged down to 5.2% in April 2025, that is from 5.3% in March, aligning with market expectations. The number of registered unemployment declined by 27,200 from the previous month to 802,700 in April 2024. Now, in April 2024, the jobless rate was lower than 5.1%. And that's what we had for you in regards to economic indicators. We pause here, and when we return, we'll bring you news beyond the borders. Stay tuned.
Listen to Eagle FM in Lodritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have the capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. We're starting off in South Africa as we always start off with regional news. Then we move over to continental news. Thereafter, international news will be coming your way. Now in South Africa, the 2025 Sustainable Infrastructure Development Symposium is well underway.
The 2025 Sustainable Infrastructure Development Symposium is underway in Cape Town. Now, the event brings together key stakeholders, experts, and decision makers in the field of infrastructure development. This includes infrastructure investment opportunities, with President Cyril Ramaphosa expected to deliver a keynote address tomorrow. For more now, we cross to our reporter, Bulelani Philip. Good afternoon, Bulelani. Over to you.
Thank you so much, Juliet. Of course, the 2025 Sustainable Infrastructure Development Symposium of South Africa is currently underway here at the Century City International Convention Center, talking all things investment and as well as attracting private partnerships with the government. And today, of course, the main focus is around how South Africa can be able to tap into some of these infrastructure development projects, both in the country as well as in the region, as well as also attracting public-private partnerships. Joining me now in this conversation is Sihlezi Galala, the Deputy Minister of Public Works and Infrastructure. Thank you so much, DM, for your time. Firstly, yesterday in the introduction of this symposium, you talked a lot about how the government wants to attract private partnerships with the government. How is that going to unfold?
Well, we are going to ensure that we use a triple P's method. It is either if it is the buildings, renovate, operate and transfer, or if it is an infrastructure project, we also use all of those triple P methods that are available. We are happy that the Treasurer is fast-tracking the issue of regulations that will guide on how to implement and ensure that the private sector plays a role in funding infrastructure, even the public infrastructure.
Talk about public-private partnerships. In the mind of labor unions, it might be seen as a privatization. How do you intend to quell that perception?
Well, the ownership will remain with the state. The ownership will remain with the state. We will want to see private sector investing for a particular time, then hand over to the state. That's how some of the triple P's work, like build, operate, and transfer.
All right. The other issue that you've talked to yesterday was the issue around the taking unsolicited bids. I know the former Chief Justice Raymond Zondo will take a dim view in terms of that because he sees it as a recipe for corruption. How are you going to ensure that at least you go out on a tender to ascertain whether there is competition in that space or not?
Once there is unsolicited bid, it is good, it is always proper to test the market whether such unsolicited bid is not undermining potential other potential players. And therefore, we accept that we must consider unsolicited bid, but also test the market, because we must remain transparent. We must also ensure that there is competitiveness.
Talk to us about this book that will be released or launched at this conference regarding the next 12 months in terms of the book, the pipeline, infrastructure development projects, as well as quantifying how much are we talking about.
Well, we are talking of more than 200 projects. It includes the national projects of various departments and entities, as well as local projects. We want to ensure that there is one entry point in terms of infrastructure development and coordination. It is a second book. We launched the first book last year, and we are releasing the second one tomorrow.
Lastly, before I let you go, the issue of the construction mafia, does it remain an impediment to development?
It does. However, we are dealing with it, and we must commend the work of the police in this regard. We've seen the decrees, but we're saying let us ensure that there is facilitation. That's why, as the department, will be taking to cabinet a social facilitation policy that we want to roll out, so that we continue to include local contractors, local people in development, but do so in a proper way.
Thank you so much. Sihle Zikalala is the Deputy Minister of Public Works and Infrastructure.
Agricultural scientists meet in Polokwane at the G20 meeting.
The G20 meeting of agricultural scientists is currently underway in Polokwane. The United States of America, however, did not send its scientists to provide input on scientific methods towards the eradication of food insecurity. The summit wants to adopt policies geared towards inclusive economic growth. SABC News reporter Katlego Nyoni is covering this meeting and joins us live. Good afternoon, Katlego. What is the morning's discussions focused on so far?
Good afternoon, Juliet. What we know so far is that several key economic areas have been identified, including inclusive economic growth in agriculture, as well as empowering SMMEs. These are some of the central points at this meeting of scientific minds from G20 nations. What we have also learned is that the U.S. has not sent its representation looking into the field of agriculture as well as science. However, we're going to bring in the Director General from the Department there of Agriculture to explain to us what some of the reasons are regarding the non-participation of America. Thank you very much for your time on the SABC News Channel. Looking at the overall meeting of Chief Agricultural Scientists, we've learned that the United States of America is not participating in this engagement that is aimed at, of course, eradicating food insecurity. What is the reason for America's non-participation?
Thank you very much. I think, first of all, America, the United States of America, is part and parcel of the Troika that is leading in terms of G20. It's Brazil, South Africa is the presidency, and also the U.S. We have not been given reasons in terms of non-participation, but what we have here is a full house in terms of G20 members, except the U.S., and we have got also invited countries, and we also have got international organizations and African research institutions are here, Farah-Cardessa, and also all of them looking at one thing only, to ensure that food security and agriculture advance.
And we understand that this is meant to essentially deliberate the agricultural sphere. What then will become of the deliberations? How will the policies that are going to be adopted here filter down towards the overall economy to ensure that there is indeed food security?
Food security is a right in terms of the Universal Declaration on Human Rights. It's also a right in terms of the Constitution of South Africa in terms of Section 27. And therefore, it's very important that as South Africa, in participating here, we not only carry the South African agenda, we also carry the agenda of the Global South. We also carry the agenda of Africa in general. In Africa as a whole, we have got the Comprehensive Africa Agricultural Development Program, and we have got the Kampala Declaration, which the heads of state have adopted in Kampala, which then guides the issues around food security and agriculture. And therefore, the elements that we are going to discuss today, firstly, the transformation of food systems, is very important in terms of how we localize food systems and ensure that we minimize the movement in terms of food. Secondly, the issue around bioeconomy, which is then driving the way that we produce our food. The use of climate smart agriculture, which is a very important concept under the global changes that we are having in terms of climate change. Also looking at the soil health aspect. Soil health is very important because we produce from the soil. And then lastly, the issue around how do we adopt in terms of your digital agriculture, which is the new way of even attracting the youth towards agriculture.
Mr. Ramaswamy, thank you very much for your time. Of course, on the SABC News Channel, that's Director General there, the Department of Agriculture, mentioning the reason why this meeting is essentially taking place, looking at the transformation of food systems to ensure that there is sustainable growth within agriculture. Of course, all this to ensure that there is indeed food security. About 720 million people are currently facing the challenge of food insecurity from what we had at this particular summit. Well, of course, it will end on Thursday here in Polokwane.
Chad inaugurates Chinese-built stadium.
The Marshall Idriss Deby Itno Olympic Stadium, named after the country's former president who was killed while fighting rebels in Chad, is the largest stadium in the country. Part of the events marking the inauguration of the 30,000-seater stadium donated by China was a music show by different Chadian singers. It was constructed by a Chinese engineering group and officially handed over to the Chadian government last month. China's ambassador to Chad called the new stadium a sign of the enduring friendship between the two nations and said it would help Chad shine in sporting events.
The stadium is an illustration of the Chadian people's aspiration for a better, more dynamic life. It's a symbol of a stronger, more prosperous Chad, a sign of friendship between our two peoples and together, a symbol of increased cooperation between our two countries. We hope that this gift will please our Chadian brothers and sisters. In this stadium, we hope to see sportsmen and women, athletes, young people, running, jumping, fighting and winning.
The stadium has been built on the outskirts of the capital, N'Djamena, and took 5 years to construct. Chadian President Mahamat Idriss Deby Itno, who inaugurated the grounds, said the stadium was a tangible fruit of the strong ties between Chad and China. And to further cement that relationship, he called for the renaming of an avenue in N'Djamena after Chinese President Xi Jinping. He said the country's national team will henceforth have a venue for its matches, while also announcing the development of 28 more pitches for Division I clubs and other sporting disciplines. Those who attended the ceremony said the new stadium is a source of pride for Chad and would make the country a sporting hub.
I'm very honored to be taking part in this historic celebration. It's the first time a stadium of this size has been inaugurated in Chad, and I'm one of the first artists to perform here. To all the other artists who performed today, the history of this stadium is now in their CVs.
We thank our Chinese friends who built it for us. We ask the youth to make good use of it and promote sports in Chad.
We are used to playing certain teams in Cameroon and Morocco. That's all over now. It's what we've been waiting for. From now on, every time our national team has a match, it will be full.
Rice Russia launches the largest air attack yet on Ukraine.
Russia has intensified its strikes on Ukraine with the highest number of drones and missiles launched in a single night yet. At one point, the whole of Ukraine was under an air alert as missiles were fired from the Black Sea and strategic bombers in Russia. Officials in the Ukrainian capital said around a dozen enemy drones had reached Kyiv's airspace, which forced thousands to take shelter in metro stations and basements. It comes as the biggest prisoner of war exchange so far between Russia and Ukraine is now complete. These are the latest pictures we've received from Ukraine's capital. 12 people are reported to have been killed in Kyiv. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky's warned that America's silence and the silence of others in the world only encourages Vladimir Putin. Our correspondent in Kyiv, James Waterhouse, says the impact of the overnight strikes are far-reaching.
This was a night where, according to Ukraine's Air Force, you've got more than 360 missiles and drones. That is the highest number yet since Russia started launching these huge air assaults in late 2022. In the time since, Moscow has been able to manufacture these drones at a much faster rate. There's also an arms race when it comes to drones between Ukraine and Russia. Both are being fitted with more sophisticated technology and packed with more explosives. And I think that is now translating into, you know, in the case of this weekend, for cities like Kyiv, 48 hours of pretty sustained bombardment. I mean, last night, the sirens went at midnight and there were explosions right all the way through until sunrise. I mean, the skies were lit up with searchlights and you could hear air defenses going off. You could see the occasional drone intercepted. You could hear their motors. And several regions in central, northern, southern Ukraine were targeted in this way. And that is why President Zelensky is again urging his allies to put more pressure on Russia to not just stop fighting, stop these aerial assaults, but also to engage in a ceasefire. But at the moment, his calls are falling on deaf ears.
James Waterhouse.
Meanwhile, Donald Trump has rebuked Putin as Russia hits Ukraine with a record drone attack.
President Trump says he's furious at Russia's continued bombardment of Ukrainian cities and is considering imposing further sanctions. Responding to questions from the media on Sunday night, Mr. Trump said successive nights of deadly airstrikes had come in the middle of talks and he was not happy. He was also critical of President Zelensky. Russia mounted its biggest, heaviest aerial bombardment of the war so far on Sunday, with at least a dozen people killed. Aruna Yunger has the latest.
President Trump arriving in New Jersey last night seemed to have lost patience with the Russian president.
Yeah, I'll give you an update. I'm not happy with what Putin's doing. He's killing a lot of people, and I don't know what the hell happened to Putin. I've known him a long time, always gotten along with him, but he's sending rockets into cities and killing people, and I don't like it at all, okay? We're in the middle of talking, and he's shooting rockets into Kyiv and other cities. I don't like it at all.
Despite U.S.-led efforts to secure a ceasefire, Russia has ramped up its attacks on Ukraine. Hundreds of drones and dozens of missiles were launched on Kyiv and 30 other Ukrainian cities over the weekend in the largest attack since the war began 3 years ago. According to Ukrainian officials, 12 people died, including three children from one family, killed in the northwest Zhytomyr region. Stanislav, aged 8, Tamara, 12, and Roman, 17. It's led Ukraine's President Zelensky to call for stronger condemnation from Washington. He said on social media, "Russia is dragging out this war and continues to kill every day." He continued, "This cannot be ignored. Silence of America, silence of others around the world only encourages Putin." Speaking yesterday, the U.S. president reiterated that sanctions were still a possibility.
You've talked before about putting more sanctions on Russia. Is that something you're considering more seriously?
Absolutely. He's killing a lot of people. I don't know what's wrong with him.
There's pressure on the president to act. The U.S. Senate is planning to approve a massive sanctions package on Moscow, which could impose 500% tariffs on Russia's allies. It has support from Republicans and Democrats. But last night, the US president also had strong words for President Zelensky, saying that he was doing his country no favors by talking the way he does. He added, "Everything out of his mouth causes problems. I don't like it, and it better stop." The worsening situation on the ground comes even as Kyiv and Moscow completed their biggest prisoner exchange since the start of the war. Ukrainian prisoners arrived home yesterday. Similar scenes in Russia. 1,000 soldiers on each side have been swapped over the past 3 days. But those scenes of joy are yet to be witnessed across Ukraine's cities, where the bombardment continues. Aruna Iyengar, BBC News.
And there we had it. Now that brings us to the conclusion of today's episode of On the Reader News Bulletin. Up next is the Onkunana Dingi program. That is our Shwambo News Bulletin brought to you by David Shombe. From Indafa Happy Juju, it is goodbye to ensure that you stay tuned for the Home Run Show with Dwight and Helmut at 16:30. I'll see you again tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on Eagle FM from 1300 hours to 14:30 for On the Reader News Bulletin.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Ongyom ngeshifa noahara kushivifa oma kuroe kupitira mohorike radio station ayo Eagle FM. Enyamukuru olongaha. Ningekwata fano na Monica kushikondosha ipindi konorahita tuimwe, heari imwe, ne heari, imwe imwe no hamano. That is 0817147116. Mumberewa konorahita tu natu. Bari o hetatu vatatu ne nola no natu. Ninge tumo emaila ku monica@eaglefm.com.na. Opo mone oshijemo shiri nawa.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Did you know that in Namibia over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards, and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 0814109077. That's 0814109077.
Listen to Eagle FM in Ludritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM.